it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, hey, welcome back to the Wolverine.com podcast, Monday night live show here, Monday, April 29th. What a weekend it was in the Motor City, in the state of Michigan, NFL draft. Michigan falls just short of Georgia's record of 15, but sets a new program record of 13 players selected. We will discuss that, maybe some of our fits and little bit of the superlative game as well. Obviously, also going to discuss the biggest news of the day, which was Vlad Golden officially dropping for Michigan basketball, and Dusty May will lead with that and discuss some of the other things with the roster. Anthony Broom here with Clayton Safey, as we are every Monday night around 6 p.m. Clayton, man, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, AB. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad that you... glad that you followed up on my invitation. It's always kind of you to do. Well, we are brought to you tonight by the Wolverine.com's National Championship Edition, the Wolverine Magazine's National Championship Edition, I should say. We've been talking about it for months. One of our favorite things to put together that I've done since I've been here over the last few years. We put together this remarkable recap of the 2023 season, the 2024 college football playoff run. We have a magazine version, which is the 148 full-color glossy pages. We have the book version, which is more of a hardbound copy, maybe more for your coffee table or the fancier section of your own personal library. It's 144 ad-free premium glossy pages. And we have features on Jim Harbaugh, features on the players, many of which were drafted this weekend, you know, highlights on a game-to-game basis, all kinds of great photos. I mean, some of those photos in there are some of the best pictures, I think, from this run all year. So check it out. Head on over to the WolverineOnDemand.com. Have plenty of them still in stock. Get your hands on it, because once they are run out, I don't suspect that we will be putting out more of them. So get your copy today. They're awesome. One of the best things I've ever worked on, period. So be sure to check that out over at the WolverineOnDemand.com. Clayton, let's start with basketball today. A little bit of a change up. Usually we're more football based, but the news of the day is not all that surprising, but a shoe that we've been waiting to drop for a while. FAU center Vlad Golden finally commits to the Michigan Wolverines. There was talk he was going to test out the NBA draft process. Maybe he still does that. We're not 100% sure what his plans are in that regard just yet, but he's coming to Michigan next year. And at the time he committed, all 13 scholarship spots were accounted for. George Washington III jumps in the portal later on in the day. So there is one spot, at least one spot, still available. We'll see what happens with the likes of Jace Howard and Namari Burnett. But Vlad Golden, I mean, this is, you talk about a big piece. I mean, literally and physically, one of the bigger pieces of the class. 6'1", 240 pounds, averaged 15.7 points, 6.9 rebounds per game last year, while shooting 67.3% from the field, which was the third best mark in college basketball. This guy's outstanding. and he is a night one starter for them and the biggest piece that they brought into this point, maybe the linchpin of this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can't add a much bigger piece. He was a number that, you know, as you said, literally and figuratively, but number two center in the transfer portal. And like you said, I mean, it was very expected, but at the same time, I think Michigan fans are feeling, you know, pretty relieved today, seeing as now he's finally in the fold. But nearly 16 points a game last year, 7 rebounds. I mean, he's got really good touch around the rim. He was in the 91st percentile in the country in post-up efficiency as well. Got a nice hook shot there. I mean, putbacks. He's a good, you know, pick and roll guy, slips to the basket. And block shots, you know, defensively. Michigan hasn't had a great rim protector in quite a while. I would say Terrace Reed had the potential to be and showed that at times with, you know, the way he could, you know, block some shots. But Vlad Golden can really get after it on the defensive end. And, you know, I think the most important position, at least maybe in the NBA, potentially in college, on defense, is having a really good center that can protect the rim, because then you can do so much around that. And Vlad Golden allows you to do that. You have Danny Wolf there, the Yale transfer, who's also over 7 feet, as kind of a depth piece. And he's a different type of player in that he'll stretch the floor. Vlad Golden, despite the videos released by his dog, probably isn't going to be shooting many three-pointers for Michigan this year. But he is a big, big pickup. And, you know, as you said, kind of maybe the centerpiece of this team from a personnel standpoint.
And you look at it too, I know the immediate question, I think, you know, with how frequently these commitments were coming in for Dusty May, I think a lot of people were kind of panicking that, oh, what's going on? Something's weird here. Is it an NIL thing? Is it have things cooled off? And that was never the case. I mean, I think throughout the whole process, pretty confident he was going to wind up here regardless. It was just more of a matter of when, not if. And maybe there are a couple more guys out there like that. I know Nellie Davis is a target that a lot of people are still very much keeping a close eye on what he's going to do. You know, again, I think that when you look at this roster and how it came together and how it has come together, I should say, again, I mean, really, it's Vlad Golden and Reuben Jones are the only two guys, you know, that committed over the last few weeks that it's a one and done deal here. You've got good depth throughout. I think there's some good roster combinations that you can pull from all this. And the other question, and a lot of people, because he hasn't officially signed yet, maybe wondering what's going on with Danny Wolf. Again, we've heard nothing to suggest he's not going to sign with Michigan. So, and a lot of people seem to think both of those guys, despite being 7-footers, can play together because Wolf does have a little bit more of that stretch capability. So, you know, what do you make of, you know, Wolf isn't going to start at the four. I think these guys in an ideal scenario are probably more of a 50-50 platoon. Maybe one skews more the other way, depending on the game, depending on the matchup. But I think we went from arguably this team not having a true center last year to having two really damn good ones potentially this season.
Yeah, I could see a few minutes overlapping between Vlad Golden and Danny Wolf at times. And I think we talked about this last week, like a lot of it depends on who you're playing, like who they have out on the floor. You know, the Big Ten has gotten a little bit smaller year by year lately. There is no longer, you know, the Kofi Coburns. Obviously they get quite a bit smaller with no Zach Edey next year, but you know, Hunter Dickinson's out of the league. Like, it's not as big man centric maybe as it was 2-3 years ago. So I don't know how many teams are going to have these massive lineups that will require Michigan to go with both Wolf and Golden, but I could see that. And maybe that was a selling point to Danny Wolf, who I agree with you. I don't think there's any concern there about him signing. But Vlad Golden, you know, in his last season was the most minutes that he averaged per game, and it was 25. So if you're kind of around there, maybe a little bit less because it's a Big Ten and you know, you could take a little bit more of a toll on him, then I think you're right there with Danny Wolf where, yeah, they overlap for a couple minutes and he's around 20, Vlad's around 25, and it's kind of that nice happy medium. So I think you're fine there. I think you'd still like to add another 4/, you know, kind of an impact wing or, you know, best available guard. You look at the scholarship chart there, Namari Burnett is a guy who things have been pretty quiet on, although we you pretty much expect at this point him to be back. And then Jace Howard entering his fifth season. I don't think that's a guarantee at all that he is going to return to Michigan. So they have a couple spots to work with. Things have been quiet after they reached out to a couple different guys over the last week or so, even after kind of filling out with that the rest of the roster with that string of commitments. So I'm interested to see what kind of guys they go after. And maybe there's somebody, you know, under the radar that we're not hearing about yet that will emerge, which I think will be interesting. We got the comment here from Joe X that says Dusty has made men's basketball interesting again. Program was dead in the water until Juwan. This guy has a plan and a way to go about it. He does have a plan, Anthony. I think that, like, you know what, they reach out to 40, 45 guys in the transfer portal. And, you know, there were times, and he kind of had a great sense for who they were realistic, had a realistic chance with, who would want to visit, who, what of the visitors would want to commit, to the point where they were telling guys at certain positions that, hey, maybe take your visits elsewhere. I think we're full here. We have commitments, you know, behind closed doors at this point. And, you know, he just has handled this beautifully, I think. And I think one of the reasons why, too, just to get into what you alluded to earlier with everyone was kind of waiting on Vlad Golden and what's the holdup. I think he's making sure these guys wait until they announce their commitment, until they're fully good to go in terms of credits and graduating, you know, depending on each certain situation. Vlad Golden is a grad transfer, but and you can enter the portal as a grad transfer as long as you're on track to graduate that next semester, but it doesn't mean you do graduate, right? Just because you're in there as that. Classes ended on Friday at Florida Atlantic. They start final exams on Wednesday. So I'm guessing, this is just a guess here, but that he got the go-ahead basically like, hey, yeah, you know, maybe it's kind of the thing we were all looking for when we were trying to graduate college, right? It's like, all right, if I fail my exams, am I still good? I'm not expecting Vlad to fail his exams, but maybe he just waiting for those numbers to come through. I think we all have been there at one point or the other in our 10 years as students.
Yeah, man, C's get degrees. and I didn't have to worry about getting into a school like University of Michigan, which people often use against me, but that's fine. Dusty has a plan, and, you know, I'm really hesitant to drag the guy that preceded him, but we've talked about the difference in roster building approach, and it's so apparent that this is a guy who said he was going to cast a wide net. He said that he was going to exhaust all options to be competitive this year, because they have no interest in a multi-year rebuild. They have no interest in, you know, waiting. You know, again, they're like some of the other Big Ten programs, you know, you get these transfers in just to keep a seat warm for a year and then hope 3 or 4 years down the road that you've got a nucleus of something with the guys you recruit. No, I think this is an NCAA tournament team. And I'll stop short of saying that it's a national championship team or a team that can make a Final Four. But when you look at the, you know, a latest round of Vegas odds that were released by, I believe it's FanDuel, they're at plus 4,500. Ahead of Michigan State, who's plus 5,500. Now, I'll argue that...
To win the Big Ten.
Men's basketball championship, which assume that means Big Ten, too. So, again, it's right. You know, plus 4,500, plus 5,500. So, it's negligible. They're not quite in the mix, so to speak. But when you look at this roster that he's put together, I don't know if they didn't add a single thing from here. And this is the team that you're going to put on the floor and you're starting, you know, Trey Donaldson, Roddy Gale. Let's say Namari Burnett comes back. You got Sam Walters at the four. You've got Vlad Golden at the five. That's a very good basketball team. That's a top half of the Big Ten, probably a top five or six roster in the conference. And I think for year one, you take that 10 times out of 10, because the flip side of that is, one, that you either ran it back with Juwan Howard, or two, that you couldn't quite land some of these guys you wanted to have. NIL was an issue, and then you're just hoping to kind of maybe be what Penn State was, which I think when we started this process, that was sort of maybe – I know, Clayton, you directly have cited that as what you thought the expectation would be. And that bar is – you know, I think it's a little – I think it's much higher than that now. I think this is probably a team that – at worst is on the NCAA tournament bubble.
Yeah. And no, you're right. I was thinking of writing about this too, because you, me, and Brian Bush, the voice of Michigan basketball, we're sitting around talking after the press conference from of Dusty May, his introductory press conference about a month ago, and we all kind of were talking about that Penn State comparison, right? They went, I think, one game under 500 or one game over, right around there. And, you know, they brought Ace Baldwin from VCU, and, you know, they showed signs of life, you know, in the first year after being completely decimated roster-wise after Micah Strewsbury left for Notre Dame, right? And they had all those one-year rent-a players that got them to the NCAA tournament, and that was a good, fun team with Jalen Pickett and all them. But they rebuild, they get around 500. I think that was kind of fair at the time, but that may have been all of us underestimating a couple things. One, Dusty May, so apologies for that. Two, the NIL situation. I was hesitant coming in about the results right away on what he would be able to do with NIL, and that's another thing that he's handled beautifully. And we've heard that he's doubled Michigan's pool of NIL from, and that this is 2 weeks ago to the day that we heard that, and that was, you know, less than a month into his tenure, so it could go up from there. My guess is that he would be communicating to some of these guys he's bringing in that, yeah, here's an amount we can give you, but also there's going to be more on the way because I'm planning on hitting the trail, talking to these donors. So when we say he has a plan, he has had a plan in pretty much every facet of being Michigan's head coach. And the expectations are going to be, you know, pretty high in year one. He, you know, here's the thing too. Like, he talked about this on day one as well, where he said, we want to be competitive in year one so that we can build in the long term and have something to sell from year one. They want to look back when it's April 29th next year and say, we've become one of the hot teams in college basketball that people come to and have success at. And yeah, that's high schoolers, that's transfers. So part of the long-term build is actually to just have a really good year one, and then it'll go from there. And I think that that is a really good plan. And again, I even may have underestimated their ability to do that with NIL and everything else that goes into building a roster. And that just speaks even more to how impressive things have been. And that doesn't even mention the staff he's put together, you know, just the way that he's handling himself here as Michigan's coach.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it goes beyond just building a roster. It's the program that he's built to this point, the infrastructure, the assistant coaches. It's not, again, it would have been fairly easy to just say, hey, staff from FAU, come on up to Ann Arbor and let's just run it back there. And that probably would have been fine. But he, just like he has done with the roster, cast a wide net there. You get a former Power 5 head coach and Mike Boynton on your staff. You've got Justin Joyner. You've got Akeem Miskadeen, who's a very good recruiter. So, you know, a very good, and this is where I think I see a trait that he shares with Jim Harbaugh, is that the great ones realize that your success is dependent on the staff and the support people you put around you. And with the resources that Michigan has, with the connections that he not only has through, you know, he's been coaching for what, you know, 15, 20 years, at least in the ranks, and knows people, you know, you make contacts. I can't, you know, without knowing what it's going to look like when this actually gets on the floor, these are just checkpoints. It's, you make the hire, and then you hire your staff, and then you acquire talent, you build the roster, and every checkpoint that he's hit so far, I think, has been A++. This is a guy who is going to work tirelessly to turn this program around, and we'll see just to which heights he can bring it back to. But listen, I mean, when you have the work ethic that a guy like Dusty May does, that's the success that comes after it is not luck. It's the reward from all of those hours that you put in. And he strikes me as the type of guy that if there's a 24-hour day, he's going to get 36 hours worth of work in, or, you know, just that extra hour somewhere he'll find to either get better as a coach, to make a couple more phone calls, to watch a little bit more film, whatever it is. I mean, this guy has worked pretty tirelessly to turn this around. And right now, I think we're looking at a team that I think has a chance to maybe not push for a Big Ten title next year, but I think it'd be pretty darn good.
Well, and it's not over yet, right? And in terms of what he's going to bring into the roster, and I don't see why, you know, I'm not afraid to say that they could or can or should push for a Big Ten championship. One, I don't think the Big Ten was really all that good last year outside of Purdue, and they proved to be – very good. They're going to have a drop off. Other teams are going to fall off a little bit. I think Indiana is going to be good, but I also said that coming into last year. I didn't realize they would have literally no one that could make a jump shot on their entire team. But, you know, so everyone's in their own unique situation. Like, Michigan's not the only team that had to rebuild things on the fly. And I think Michigan's done as good a job as anybody at that. They sit at number one right now in On3's transfer portal rankings that just came out today. And those factor in transfers in and transfers out. And it's not all about transfers in, transfers out, right? Because other teams have some better players that are coming back and some better high school recruits that are coming in. But I think it's important to know. So I'm not afraid to say that they can do that. And if they make the NCAA tournament like I expect they can, I'm also not afraid to say that there's a chance, I'm not predicting this, but there's a chance they could make the second weekend, Final Four, that sort of thing. I know it's April 29th, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but nobody thought they were getting to the Final Four, even after winning over 30 games, or I guess it was right at 30 or 31 before they made the Final Four 2 years ago at Florida Atlantic as a 9 seed. So college basketball, you really can't rule a ton out as long as you're competitive and you put yourself in position to make a run. So again, it's April 29th, but you know, it feels like I wish the season was here. Sounds like the guys are getting on campus June 10th, the transfers, and then the freshmen on June 22nd. So, you know, there's still a ways to go before they start to gel and come together. But man, I think everybody's excited to get this thing in place and see what these guys can do. And someone said this on the message board earlier, it would have been a great year for Michigan to have one of those overseas trips to Europe. You can only do it once every 4 years, and they did it in 22, so it doesn't line up, but this would have been a perfect year because the excitement of them beating up on some terrible team in Italy would be through the roof at this point in a couple months.
Josh Jackson with a $1.99 super chat says, two best in the business, go blue, as Clayton pulls it down there. Thank you, Josh. That's extremely sweet. We're very fortunate. We have a great staff over here.
Talk to this guy right here, AB.
Talk to this guy. That's right. I don't like the praise. I mean, I appreciate the praise. Just make sure you spread the wealth. And he has. Thank you, Josh, very much.
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah, I think, I mean, a couple quick points on this, and then we'll move on to the NFL draft. The fact that, again, maybe there's a lingering piece or two out there somewhere. There's still decisions to be made. I get that, but the fact that the core of this team is more or less set, and we'll see, you know, we'll get some guys signed this week, I assume, to make that official. The fact that you're going into the summer knowing what you have, I think, is very important, where it feels like even before last offseason, the offseason before, you know, you're still waiting on guys to commit. You know, Yusef Kayat was the guy that literally joined them on the Europe trip a couple of years ago. So again, it just, the speed at which they've worked all this out has been pretty remarkable. And it's going to be interesting. And I talked about talked about this with Andy Backstrom of Letterman Row, our Ohio State site, last week. There's kind of this interesting subplot where it's now a what if. What if Ohio State had hired Dusty May? What if Michigan did? You know, Ohio State obviously hires Jake Diebler. You know, with Roddy Gale coming to Michigan, it's, we know what the storylines are with those two football programs, but I'm going to be really interested in seeing how it goes with Michigan basketball and Ohio State basketball over these next 2 or 3 years. I think it's going to be really just a fascinating storyline. But any other final thoughts on hoops?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to your point about having the roster set before the summer. Olivier Kamwa committed on June 7th, 2023. You know, they didn't know they were going to have pretty much their best player, right? Doug or him, you know, you could argue, until June 7th. And even then he went over and, you know, he came to Ann Arbor and then he went over, you know, to, I think it was Japan, you know, for the FIBA under 19 games or whatever it was, the World Cup. So, you know, they didn't have that. And Juwan Howard was dealing with health things throughout the offseason. Like, they're just in such a better position right now than they were a year ago.
Absolutely. Well, let's move on here to NFL draft recap. And that was a busy weekend for us. I mean, we're swapping texts throughout, thinking, all right, well, here's seven, here's eight.
We're just texting nine. Each other because we knew we were the only two people still watching the draft at 5 o'clock on, you know, Saturday on afternoon. Saturday. That was, you get a little stir crazy watching that much, you know, people, man, talk about players they don't really know that much about.
Well, again, and I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to throw a tantrum about that. It's a lot different than when I was on the other side of it doing the draft for NFL team coverage, you know, we had all these stories pre-written. So we just fill the names in and we click publish. When you're writing for the team or covering a team, you don't know who these guys are, and you're, you know, it's hard to pre-write for that. So it's a little less frantic, but when you have 18 guys that were invited to the NFL combine, when you have, you know, I thought for sure they'd get to 14, 15 was, you know, 15 was going to be tough. 16 was going to be, oh my gosh. They did get to 13, which was a program record, not quite the all-time record, but God, 13 picks. That is nothing to shake a stick at all. And the thing that was, maybe fun's not the word. It goes into the stir craziness of late Saturday, but it kind of took a run for them late in that day where I think they had like five of the last 12 picks or whatever it was for them to get where they ultimately were at 13. So I'll run it down for people really quick, and then we'll talk about fits and what we liked, who went where, what we didn't like. J.J. McCarthy, 10th overall, first round to the Minnesota Vikings. No surprise there. That was kind of the fit that seemed the most likely throughout the NFL draft process. Chris Jenkins comes off the board at number 49 overall in the second round on Friday. One pick after him, Mikey Sainer still heads the Washington Commanders at pick 50. Junior Colson, we were wondering who that Michigan guy that Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers would select would be. It was Junior Colson, linebacker, at pick number 69. Nice. In the third round, Blake Corum followed 14 picks later. In the third round, he went to the Los Angeles Rams. Roman Wilson, Pittsburgh Steelers, 84th overall, third round. Zach Zinter, also selected in the third round to the Cleveland Browns, number 85 overall. And then Saturday, at A.J. Barner go to the Seattle Seahawks in the fourth round. Trevor Keegan go to the Philadelphia Eagles in the fifth round. And then this is where the lull came in. It was 68 picks between Wolverines. Michael Barrett heads to the Carolina Panthers in the seventh round. Ladarius Henderson, 9 picks later to the Houston Texans. Jalen Harrell, 3 picks later in the seventh round to the Tennessee Titans. And the 13th and final selection for the Michigan Wolverines in the 2024 NFL draft, pick number 253, another Los Angeles Charger, wide receiver Cornelius Johnson. They did have, I believe, 6 undrafted free agents. Drake Nugent went to the 49ers. Trent A. Jones to the Green Bay Packers. Josh Wallace went to the LA Rams. Carson Barnhart made it 3 Chargers from the Michigan football program. He's also joining Jim Harbaugh. Braden McGregor joining the New York Jets. And we had to have a hometown one in there. Celine native James Turner heading to the Detroit Lions, who hosted the draft, or the city of Detroit hosted the draft this weekend. So all in all, 13 guys drafted, 19 guys overall find NFL homes. That was a hell of a weekend, man.
Yeah, it was. And Isaiah Hull, our colleague from Wolverine's Wire, texted me this earlier. And obviously it's what we know, Michigan with 13 picks. It's the fourth most by any school in a single draft. Georgia with 15 in 2022, Ohio State with 14 in 2004, LSU with 14 in 2020, and then after Michigan, tied fifth behind Michigan, which is fourth, 12 by Alabama in 2018, 12 by Ohio State in 2016. All of those teams just named won the national championship the year before, except both Ohio State teams on there.
Oh, darn.
It's just kind of a little factoid. But regardless, you know, it was a great showing, and it capped off the Jim Harbaugh era in the NFL draft with 66 total draft picks over 9 years of Harbaugh. You know, Michigan had not hit double-digit draft picks in a single draft since 1972, 1974, before Harbaugh came, despite there being – you know, 12 rounds, 14 rounds for a lot of those years until 1994. They didn't have double digits from 74 all the way until Harbaugh's tenure. He does that 3 times in his career over 9 seasons. He does, had 8 draft picks in one draft, 9 in another. So it was pretty incredible. All told, 7.3 draft picks per year for Jim Harbaugh. Nick Saban just wrapped up his career at Alabama. He produced 7.8 in 17 years, which is also a ridiculous clip. But the fact that those were even 0.5 away you know, considering the way Alabama recruits compared to Michigan, is really impressive. And a lot of those guys, sure, you know, for Alabama might have gone earlier in the draft, and I'm sure they did if we looked more into the numbers here on the fly. But at the same time, again, they recruited a lot better. And, you know, Michigan, I just think, was able to develop these guys really well. But Michigan had, under Harbaugh, at least one guy drafted at every single position. That includes long snapper, you know, multiple quarterbacks. Offensive lineman was the most common, but wide receiver, edge rusher right there as well. You know, you name it. You just a lot of impressive stuff. And then this year's class, I mean, these guys are winners. They won the national championship, and I wish them luck as they move on to the next chapter. It's going to be fun to, you know, to just watch on Sundays. You're watching Red Zone. It'll be one Wolverine after another. And can we credit you and I, too, last week when we predicted Zach Zinter would go off the board earlier than his projections? He goes in the third round. I think that's a great pick by the Cleveland Browns. That may win my, you know, best whatever superlative you want to put on it. But in terms of you know, relative to the expectation from the draft media to what actually happened, I think that that was a great pick by the Browns.
Well, let's just jump into superlatives, and I'll piggyback off that in terms of that was your, you think, best fit?
No, not fit.
Probably. Our favorite pick?
Sure.
All right. Favorite pick. Listen, I mean, it's pretty, we'll talk about the pick at the very top of the draft here soon, because that's, he's the headlining name. But I think my favorite pick is probably Roman Wilson to the Steelers. I mean, you talk about a guy that, you know, he's a good slot receiver. He'll block his ass off. You talk about a gritty guy from, he just, what, when his name came off the board of the Steelers, I'm like, yes, yes, of course. Like, he's, I'm not saying he's Hines Ward, but when you look at what he profiles to, it's freaking Hines Ward. I mean, he's a you know, brings physicality at receiver. I think he's going to be kind of a gritty slot guy, sort of like a Tyler Lockett. I think that's a great fit for him. I really liked, and again, he was a guy that I saw mock drafts as recent as 1 or 2 weeks ago where Kansas City's taking him at 32. Some teams are taking him at the top of the second round. So to get him in the second round, I mean, man, that is, and I believe both Wilson and Zinter, I have it right in front of me. I could look back to back picks, or no?
Well, it was back to back to back.
That's or right. No, that Blake Corum goes to the Rams. Yeah,
yeah.
Which that's an interesting fit because he's kind of exactly what Kyren Williams is. So they have two of those guys now, which I don't know if that's redundant or if it's just awesome for them because Kyren Williams was pretty good last year. But thought it was pretty cool that Blake Corum, you know, his season comes to an unfortunate end in 2022. He has to go out to LA, you know, to get his surgery. He rehabs out there. 1 year later, he's in LA and is the hero of the Rose Bowl. And then a couple months after that, his NFL home is in LA. So football is awesome like that sometimes. Maybe we go to best fit now. And I think we'll probably be in lockstep on this one, but I'm interested in hearing what you have on that.
Well, can I first mention that the Steelers now have three Wilsons on the team, Russell Wilson. They have two R Wilsons, Russell and Roman. And then they also drafted Peyton Wilson out of NC State, a linebacker. So keep an eye on that. There'll be a lot of I don't know what you put on the back of the jersey. How do they do that in the NFL? Will it be RU Wilson? No way Russell Wilson's wearing that just because of Roman.
I feel like Russ is going to get just Wilson. I bet you Roman is R.Wilson.
And then there'll be P.Wilson. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think about that. See, this is what, like, you, the head of the Wolverines.
Well, they were talking about it on the damn draft, and I was, you know, we were watching it. We were watching different broadcasts, so.
Oh, I was watching the Superior broadcast that night, so.
Yeah, true.
Shout out to Rich. He was having himself a blast that entire event, so. Yeah,
are we on best fit here? Okay. Yeah. I mean, I have to say J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings, and it's more of J.J. McCarthy being not lucky, but fortunate to be on the Vikings, because that's just a great situation for any quarterback that's coming into the league. One, you have a guy that they can start if you're not ready right away in Sam Darnold. Two, they have a guy who's their quarterback's coach in Josh McCown, who was a longtime quarterback in the NFL, basically mentoring all these sorts of guys. I mean, the guys that he was in a quarterback room with and helped throughout the years is pretty endless, and it's an impressive list. Third, their head coach is a former NFL quarterback, Kevin O'Connell, for the Patriots, and I believe other teams as well. But maybe the most important thing, right, is the weapons they have on offense. One of them being Justin Jefferson, who is the NFL's all-time leader in receiving yards per game at, I think, 98.3, but over Calvin Johnson, who is number two. Of course, he's only played, I think, 3 years in the league, but still, I mean, he's been incredible. As Lions fans, we know exactly what he's done. Even when they have a terrible quarterback, you know, second, third stringer back there, he's able to carve up defenses like our Detroit Lions. So it's just a great situation. And JJ kind of let the cat out of the bag during his press conference when he said, every quarterback I talked to during the draft process said that the ideal situation is to go to Minnesota. Now, none of those other quarterbacks are going to corroborate that story now that they are on other teams, but it worked out. And the thing is, he dodged a bullet a little bit because, you know, Atlanta stuns everybody and goes quarterback at number eight. They have Kirk Cousins there. Like, there's not a path for Michael Penix to play for a few years as long as Kirk Cousins stays healthy. So JJ McCarthy gets to go somewhere where easier path to playing, but you don't have to do it right away if you're not ready. You know, just a great, great situation for him.
Yeah, I agree for all those reasons. Again, and it's not like he's not going to play this year. He's not. This is what I found interesting about the if Atlanta was going to take a quarterback at eight and be fine with sitting him for a few years, why wouldn't it have been JJ McCarthy? I mean, Michael Penix, his ARP card is in the mail. Like, he's going to be like 40 years old by the time that Kirk Cousins is out of there. So, but I think he's
better,
going.
If you like him better. You know.
Hey, you know what? That's the draft is all about just going up and getting your guys. I mean, the Lions traded a third round pick next year to take a tackle out of the University of British Columbia. So
Yeah. You
have your guys, you take them. No, this is a great situation for him. Again, and they come, you know, the Vikings offense is basically what McVay runs in LA, where everything they do is off of play action. We know that JJ is elite in play action, and now he's got, hey, you know, he's got Jordan Jefferson or Justin Jefferson. He's got Jordan Addison. He's got TJ Hockenson when he comes back from a torn ACL. I think he's going to throw the ball a little bit more, just a hunch. Quick question on JJ. Over under 3.5 games before he starts.
Yeah, it's hard to say. On April 29th, but I love this question. I'm going to say over. I could see maybe like Sam Darnold starting 5-6 games and then they hand it over to JJ, or maybe it's half the year. But the good part of that is that there's not a huge rush. And, you know, Kevin O'Connell said in a couple of interviews over the weekend too, like, they're not going to put, you know, a game, you know, amount of games on it or whatever. They're just going to kind of let it play out. But I'm interested to hear what you got over under on that.
I'm going to say under. Sam Darnold stinks. I mean, he just stinks. And this is, you know, a lot of times when these rookie quarterbacks need time to adjust, it's because they're coming from places that don't, you know, you got to get used to the NFL terminology and the, you know, he was running a pro style offense. So I'm going to say under, unfortunately, and I'm not trying to put this energy out into the world, but I can foresee, like, I'm still sort of scarred as a Lions fan. I remember speaking of Sam Darnold, he comes in week one, Monday Night Football, makes his NFL debut at Ford Field and just absolutely carves up the Detroit Lions. I hope that one, Sam Darnold doesn't do that because Nick Mullins did it last year to them. But I just hope that week one isn't JJ McCarthy at Ford Field. I feel like that's probably going to be a primetime game whenever they play it because, you know, national championship quarterback comes back to Michigan for the first time. Please God, just have him throw for 400 yards, but like four picks or something. Like, anywho, let's see. I don't want to do picks we don't like. I think all these guys are going to be successful. How about day three guy that you think could outperform his draft ranking?
Oh, I'm going to real quick also mention that Trevor Keegan might be best fit in Philly. I think that's a great one. And I probably
the beer chugging energy they lose from Jason Kelsey's retirement.
Yeah.
They just backfilled it.
And Keegan will mix in a water or two every now and then, but No, he is. That's just a great fit. That is just a great fit. I'm excited for him. What was it? Day three that could overperform? Man,
that's hard because they're yeah. mostly seventh round picks.
Well, and then I guess that adjusts the expectation a little bit. But Michael Barrett's going to play football for a long time in the NFL. In my opinion, at least as a special teamer. And, you know, he kind of reminds me of the Kalik Hudson pick in 2020, where he's this guy undersized. Can he play inside linebacker? He's a great special teamer. He stuck around there. Actually got his shot last year again as an inside linebacker for, you know, what was not a great team, but he's somebody who's kind of, and you know, fans were kind of clamoring for him to get a little bit more playing time even last year. So I think Michael Barrett is probably even better at linebacker or will be, and he could do that. And then Jalen Harrell, I thought, was kind of a steal in the seventh round by the Tennessee Titans, because like he's a very good player. Like maybe, you know, guys like Braden McGregor and stuff, and Drake Nugent, who had extra eligibility that should have come back. You know, maybe they should have, but I think Jalen Harrell's put enough snaps out there on tape. Surprised he didn't go a little bit higher, but I think he's developed himself into a pretty good player that could have an impact even as a seventh rounder.
Yeah, I was surprised that Jalen Harrell went that low. Really surprised the way that he was sort of not talked about during this process. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't have a trait that he like hangs his hat on, but we know that he can cover down the field. We know that he can play run defense. We know that he can rush the passer. Just got a really nice toolkit. You know, I would kind of compare him to like a Julian Aquara type, maybe not as physically developed as he was, but just a guy that you can, you know, he's going to be a rotational pass rusher and he's going to get on the field and give you some sort of snaps. But seventh round pick, I mean, I think it is a steal for him. Michael Barrett, I was looking at the Panthers depth chart when you were talking there. And again, this is all, the Panthers suck. So caveat there.
I know. I kind of feel bad for him in a way, but
David Tepper is maybe the worst owner in pro sports. So I'm rooting for him to overcome that, but I mean, their linebackers aren't great there. So maybe it's like a Malcolm Rodriguez situation where he gets drafted late and the rest of the linebacker room is so terrible that he gets on the field early. But yeah, we'll see what happens there. Trying to think who else. That pretty much covers it. I don't know that Ladarius Henderson is going to be, you know, anything more than a depth guy. AJ Barner, I think, could be solid in Seattle as like a number three tight end, a blocking tight end, which is what I think they're probably targeting with him there. Cornelius Johnson, we'll see, but that's kind of a fascinating fit to me. They do need wide receivers, so Jim got himself a wide receiver that he's familiar with. So, yeah.
Yeah.
What about sorry, man. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say Jay Harbaugh knows his tight ends. He's on staff there in Seattle. So whatever draft broadcast I was watching at that point, I guess it would have been NFL Network on Saturday. They were like talking about Mike McDonald, and he knows AJ Barner. It's like, no, he doesn't. He was here in 2021. Barner came last year. But you know who does know him, and they didn't do enough research, is Jay Harbaugh, and he knows his tight ends. You know, I think that you know, he could have an impact there.
Yeah, well, CP is there too, so certainly familiar with what he brings. The UDFA guys, anything stand out there? I think like really it's what's that?
I like Braden McGregor as a he's a Packer, right?
He's a Jet.
He's a Jet. Well, either way, green. I think he's going to do well. I was surprised he didn't get picked. You know, I know there's been a lot of talk among the Michigan fan base in the last couple of days that maybe he should have come back for another year. You know, I think that certainly would have turned him into a draft pick next season. But, you know, it's his life. He was probably ready to move on. But I do think he's going to be on a team next year.
Okay. James Turner, Detroit Lions.
Is he going to win the job?
I don't know. I don't know. But they're going to let him compete for it because that's what they do. So.
Yeah.
That's any other draft thoughts? The other draft thought, it's kind of similar to what we had during the NFL draft last year, where you see all these guys go, and mind you, it won't be in these great of numbers, but, and you're thinking, man, I mean, you could get yourself, you could talk yourself into them having another 10 picks next year if things break right.
You could. I put the article out this morning about 13 guys who are candidates to be draft picks next year. And we wrote in there, right, that they're probably not going to get 13. Some guys are going to decide to come back for school, whether that's, you know, fifth year, senior year, that sort of thing. But at the same time, there are 13 guys that I think have a pretty realistic chance of going if they want to. And if things go according to plan, right, we're projecting out on April 29th, but you know, a lot of high end guys as well, if they decide to come out, Will Johnson, all those guys. So yeah, you're looking at, I think this draft success continuing, and, you know, I think Jim Harbaugh won't get credit officially for some of those guys, but he and his staff, which includes Sherrone Moore, by the way, you know, brought a lot of these guys in. There was just so much talent on this team.
Of course, Pro Football Focus put out their top 50 big board for next year's draft already. Those guys are already getting after it. Number two and number four overall prospects Michigan has in Mason Graham at number two. Will Johnson was at number four. I believe Colston Loveland was at 16, and then Kenneth Grant was 34 or 38, somewhere in that range. So, and I certainly, if Kenneth Grant has a good year, I mean, he's going to be a top 20 pick. I mean, you just don't, guys that big that move that well, just they so rarely put it all together. So it's going to be a top heavy class next year, it looks like. So knock on wood, we'll see what happens with that. Let's close this show out by cleaning up some of the questions here that we've taken in the queue and also from the message board. I'm going to start with one from the board. And this is from Hoops Coach N3D. So we're heading back to basketball here for a moment. He says, May has proven to be a maestro putting together this roster. Things seems to be quiet on the Janelle Davis front. Any chance there could be some behind-the-scenes talk that if the NBA doesn't look like it'll happen and the NIL is good enough, and because of his feelings for May and Miskadeen, that he ends up a Wolverine? I would think it would take the roster from pretty good to wow. And I'll just interject first by saying, if that's the final piece that they wind up getting, I think we can probably talk about much bigger expectations, because that'd be a hell of an addition too.
Yeah, I think there's a chance of that. I think Jonell Davis is taking the NBA draft process seriously right now. You have not heard much buzz about him and other college teams right now, even though he's in the transfer portal. And you would think that it'd be pretty easy for Dusty May to get on the phone with him. And I'm sure that has been happening over the last, you know, month and a half or whatever it's been. So I think that's possible. And, you know, maybe him in a four or something like that. And you're looking at, you know, a team that's good and competitive and turning that into a team that is damn good and in competing for everything. Right. But yeah, I think there's definitely a chance of that. I feel like if you're going through the draft process and you're serious about it, then it's probably smart to have a pretty high asking price when it comes to NIL, which has been what he's done reportedly, right? He's had a pretty high asking price. It's early in the process, though, if you're going through the NBA stuff. So why not have the high price? And then at some point, you know, likely that will come down. He's not going to get a million or 1.2. And maybe he will, but likely not. So I think that it's playing out slowly by design, but from his perspective. And that all assumes that he graduates, right? And that he can go somewhere else, because that's a big piece of this, especially when it comes to Michigan.
Absolutely. I mean, it could just be a case of, like you said, I'll stop the NBA draft process right now for $1 million next year. And then, you know, might just be something he lets play out. So let's keep moving here. John Stacy, we'll go rapid fire with this one. Michigan finished top four in the Big Ten. Didn't specify if it's hoops or basketball, but I think
you put it in while we were talking basketball. So
okay. Right now I'll say just outside that fifth.
I'm going to say inside the top four.
Okay. I love it. Quick one from Theodore Dodge, who says, can players decide to return to Michigan if they don't get drafted? No. Once you go through the process and hire an agent and work out at those types of facilities, that's the end of it. So again, now you root for those guys that didn't get drafted, that they make teams, because there are a lot of great players in the NFL that didn't get drafted and make a team after carving out a role early on. So that's where the attention turns for them. Let's go to, oh, I love this. It's another shout out to the Wolverine. Ron Crabb says, hello from Malaysia. Bought two national championship books. It's a great book and wonderfully put together. Keep up the great work. Go ahead and throw Malaysia on the board. I think that's the first time we've got Malaysia here.
We got a big following over there. Yeah. Thank you, Ron. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Ron. That's extremely sweet.
You're the man.
We've sort of have talked about this throughout the show, but Connor Stallions owns Ohio State football asks, pending this team gets lucky and stays healthy, does it look like a tournament team on paper? Yeah, it does. I think they are a tournament team. It's just a matter of, you know, are they a nine seed or are they a four or five? You know, I think there's a lot that could happen in that range.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that they are going to be in there. And again, I mean, it's early, but if you're asking us right now, I'll give you an answer. I think so.
We love April 29th planting a flag on something. So I believe it was this time last year that I planted a flag on the fact that Michigan would be a Wednesday night team this year. And then I backed off of that, which I shouldn't have done. Mr. Dave, this is our last question here for now. The queue's open if anyone wants to ask any more, but that's the one, the last that remains in the queue. He says, football question, have they announced the Big Ten football division and playoff format still East-West? No, divisions are gone. So, Mr. Dave, it will be the top two teams in the Big Ten now, whether that's Michigan and Ohio State playing 2 weeks in a row in Indianapolis, whether it's Oregon playing Ohio State, Oregon playing Michigan, Oregon playing USC. It's going to be whoever those top two teams in the standings are. And I guess, Clayton, let me ask you this. I mean, how do we feel about that format? I think that last game not being basically a scrimmage on your way to the college football playoff, it's probably good for TV, but those games haven't quite been as stressful the last few years as the one that comes the week before.
No, they haven't been, and it's going to be harder to make it. And then once you get to the Big Ten Championship, it's going to be harder to win it. But harder or not, I don't like it. You know, I don't understand why they didn't just add the West Coast teams in, put them in the West Division, and move a couple teams over like Purdue, Northwestern, whatever it is, you know, whoever you want to do that with, over to the East and continue to play like this. So now it's more of an unbalanced schedule. And you have the potential of Michigan, Ohio State playing 2 weeks in a row, you know, something that I think we've talked about. And then it's interesting, too, because you could have you could have some rematches. I was reading this from Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports earlier, that there's no protocol right now in the college football playoff, a new 12-team format, to avoid rematches in the first round. So, and he's arguing in his column that it's a solvable problem. They should avoid them just like the NCAA basketball tournament selection does. A lot of other sports do that as well. And he listed that there, I don't have it fully up here, but there were a lot of cases, if you go back the last several years and model it out, how it would have been with the 12-team playoff, where you would have had a lot of rematches in the first round. So you could get, you know, Michigan, Oregon this year in the, you know, in November. You could get Michigan, Oregon in December twice. And, you know, you're talking about two teams playing three times in football, in college football, which is pretty unheard of. So I wouldn't like that, but that's kind of a tangent on the question. I don't like the no divisions, but, you know, it's kind of a topic, I guess, that we could do a whole podcast on the whole format and everything, but
I don't have a problem with no divisions. But we don't need to play a Big Ten championship game. Like there's no right reason to do that. I don't know. For me, if there were divisions, I think I'd be with you where you have that team from the West Division. You know, all of those teams they added from the West, you're going to get a better West Division champion than you ever would have under this old format. So most years, I mean, there are some years where an Iowa or a Wisconsin would come out. But really, what's on the line in this game anymore? I think it's, there's a couple things. One, obviously, you know, if you are Michigan or Ohio State playing a second week in a row, if that team wins that game twice in a row, you're talking about having a bye to the next round. And then, you know, if it's not quite being in that top four, we're talking seeding too. We're talking about maybe hosting a playoff game in a couple weeks. So there is, I mean, you could probably still argue the stakes are higher in that format. But again, it's just, I don't know, just it's been so much change so fast. You know, when the Big Ten, was it 2011 where the Big Ten expanded to Nebraska? You know, at least that was kind of gradual, where Nebraska comes in. A couple years later, you get Rutgers, you get Maryland at the same time. Now it's just like, it just doesn't, it's not the same. It's basically going to be a different sport, which I think is still going to be a lot of fun. We'll be there every step of the way, as we tend to be. But it is going to be different, which I think, you know, I've argued from the start is what makes what, you know, this last year's team did that much more special, because it was the period at the end of an era. There had been a lot of change that led up to that, obviously, but Michigan won the last national title that just felt like a dog fight from week one to, you know, game 15. So you're going to play more games now. You can play up to 17 or 18 games in this new format. It's going to be a little bit more. I love more games that matter. I could care less about the Pop-Tarts Bowl or any of that type of stuff, which those are still going to be there. But a lot of change. But, you know, hopefully Michigan's a team, and certainly, you know, they're in a conference that is at the forefront of at least trailblazing and planting their flag on what it's going to look like for them. So any other final thoughts, Clayton?
Yeah, Michigan and Georgia own the NIL era. So last 3 years, 42 wins for Georgia, 40 for Michigan.
It's pretty interesting. And there's something to be said about still having your guys there. I've yet to see a team that's competed for a title or won a title with a team full of bag chasers. So it's not hating on any individual players, but Texas A&M, Auburn, Miami, Godspeed, still waiting for it. You can subscribe to our channel, like this video. It helps us out tremendously. Again, remember to use that promo code UM1 to get 2 months of premium access to our website for only $1. So use that promo code today. All that info is in the description below, as well as information on how to order our commemorative national championship edition of our magazine. That's going to do it for us tonight. For Clayton Safey, for our producer Megan behind the scenes, I'm Anthony Broom. Thanks for watching The Wolverine, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.